Thanks for joining us and supporting Vicky Doe Fitness. We ask for your continued support by becoming an It's All About Health and Fitness premium member. Go to www.vickidoefitness.com/join. Again, that's www.vickidoefitness.com/join and register for a $6 monthly subscription. And remember, keep listening, sharing, and checking us out.
The views and opinions expressed are for general informational purposes only. Consult with your physician or medical healthcare provider for medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment.
Today, we talk about the importance of counseling for healing. March for Our Lives stands for young folks standing up against gun violence. Can we learn from them? Today's lifestyle choices can help prevent or delay age-related health problems. Joining us today is Robin C. Hill, a psychotherapist and licensed professional clinical counselor, to talk about her book and the importance of having a conversation with a professional counselor. All this and more on It's All About Health and Fitness.
Welcome to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Hayward-Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks-Bright. This program is brought to you by Vicki Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum. Now, here's your host, Vicki Doe and D. Banks-Bright.
I'm Dr. Vicki Hayward-Doe, and with me is the one and only Dr. Virginia D. Banks-Bright.
Hi, Vicki. How are you?
I am fine, and we have guests in the house.
We do.
Yes, indeed. We have Robin C. Hill. We kept seeing that. Robin C. Hill.
All the way from Cleveland.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yes. And we're delighted to have you with us today. Now, today, we talk about the importance of counseling, going to someone and talking to receive help and healing. And according to the American Counseling Association, counseling is a professional relationship that empowers diverse individuals, families, and groups to accomplish mental health, wellness, education, and career goals. If you feel that you need help in any of these areas of your life, then you should definitely go to a counselor and talk about it. That's why it's called Let's Talk.
Yeah.
Right, Dee?
Yep.
That's it. So finding a good counselor is important because their job is to help you to open up and describe your feelings, talk about your feelings and problems, and then to help you reach decisions and answers or actions that are based on informed choices. Good counseling helps people build skills that they can use in solving their problems. So here today, we have with us Robin C. Hill, a psychotherapist, and she's a licensed professional clinical counselor. Now, she owns her own practice, Robin C. Hill Counseling and Professional Development Services, and it's located in the Cleveland area, Beechwood, Ohio. And Robin is joining us today to talk about her book, A Healing Conversation, Beginning Steps Towards Dealing with a Painful Past. And she will also talk with us about the importance of going and talking with a professional counselor when you need to get help and healing. So we can't wait to hear more from her
during
this show, right, Dee?
Absolutely.
Now we want you to go, all of you guys, we want you to go and subscribe on iTunes for this podcast show. Look under It's All About Health and Fitness and give us a good review. By doing so, you help us go up on the ratings and popularity chart, and make sure that you tell all of your friends and families to do the same. We will greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, go to our website, www.vickidoefitness.com/resources, and check out our resources page. You will find a curated list of tools, websites, and products that I strongly recommend for your success on your healthy living journey. Now, make sure you check out Sunbasket. Now, Sunbasket is a healthy meal delivery service offering organic and sustainable ingredients and easy recipes. And it can be delivered to your door weekly or monthly or, you know, whatever you choose. Make sure that you go now, check it out, because you can use the link. There's a discount off their lean and clean meals.
I keep forgetting about this.
Yes. Go.
Thinking about using it.
Yes.
It's so hard, though. They just fix meals for 1, 2, 3, as many as you
want. It can be family. Go click on the link on our resources page. Everything. It'll tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
All the different meals.
I'm thinking about trying that.
You can do lean. Mm-hmm. They got lean, clean. They got vegetarian. They got all kinds of different meal plans that you can choose from. And then they will have those ingredients, you know.
All in the box.
Yes. And the recipe on how to cook it.
Oh, wow. Great.
Yes. Okay. So it makes it very convenient for folks, especially if you're trying to, you know, be healthy and clean.
Yeah.
You know?
And so don't feel like going shopping.
Hey, that's the main thing. That's what I was saying to my honey sweet. I said, look, we got to check out what's coming on Sunbasket.
Yeah.
And then you cook it.
Yeah. He can follow the recipe.
Let him follow the recipe, right? Let him follow the recipe. Well, we want you to make sure. Also, we want you to check out all of the wonderful tools and products listed on that resources page and make sure you check us out. Now, when you use any of the affiliate links on this page, you will be supporting us. You will be supporting us here at Vicky Doe Fitness. So we definitely want you to check it out. And thank you
for your support.
So Dee.
Yes.
I have been a busy bee.
I know. I haven't seen you at all this week. What's
I know.
On?
I've been cooking up a storm.
Oh, I thought I smelled the aroma from down the street. I thought I smelled the aroma.
Well, you know, next month, well, it's going to be what? Sunday is April 1st.
Yes.
But next month is April, and it's Minority Health Month.
Right.
And with that, we have to do some cooking demos. So we're trying to get our healthy recipes together. And I always like to you know, come out with something that's different.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we say, oh, it's taco night, it'll be something different, how you cook the tacos and stuff and the soups and the salads and all that. Now, Isaac Floyd, he's our fitness wellness coordinator. I think you might have met him. He loves to cook, and he's getting his master's actually in nutrition from Kent State. He says, okay, doctor, he calls me Dr. V. Okay, Dr. V, let's do this. Let's tweak it. Let's do this. So that's what we've been doing.
Oh, fun.
So it's been a lot of fun. And then I'm trying to get ready for our trip, Dee.
I know. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
The royal wedding.
Yes. We're going over to London.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Dee and I and my two girls and... And we're just going to hang out.
Going to hang out, see what we can, and get up and just get into the mix. Mm. I went over when Kate and William got married, just to be in the mix. It's just electrifying to be in London because marriage is a big thing for the royals.
Wow.
And especially with Harry getting married now and Meghan, the American, we just want to be in the mix.
Yeah, because he was a player.
He was. And she came and swept him off his feet.
Yes, indeed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's that black sister love.
The American, yes, she did. The whip appeal.
The whip appeal.
Hey, some baby face up in here.
So we're gonna check it out and we're gonna enjoy.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna try to meet with one of the guys that called. He was a guest a while back.
Rory.
Yeah. So and he's out of London. So we're gonna try to meet up with him as well. Yeah. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah,
that's gonna be our May trip.
Hopefully the weather will be a little warmer.
I know.
It's getting old.
Yes.
It's getting very
I know.
Old.
It is. I know it's rainy today.
Yeah, it's getting very old.
So what about your week, Dee?
I've just been working hard, trying to do a little bit more, because, you know, this is starting, I'm a runner, so it's starting to get into running season. So I swim a lot during the week, but I started now getting back into conditioning and getting my legs stronger from bicycling and from running. Mm. So that's what I've been doing, going to the gym more and, you know, still tweaking my diet, trying to explore. I know what I've been doing, exploring more different types of fruits and vegetables. Like I discovered Napa cabbage last week.
Okay.
And read about that. So I've been chopping that up and I've been doing using my slow cooker a lot to do different type bok choy and mixing that with a lot of stuff and experimenting with broth and I'm not a vegan or I like vegetarian foods, but just realizing that the evidence is kind of overwhelming that
plant-based
is probably the way to go.
That's what we were doing when we were tweaking our recipes to bring out to our cooking demo. We're going to do some of the ground turkey and the lean chicken, but we're using the mushrooms and the things of that nature so that folks can get used to doing things without, you know, you still can have your so-called tacos without it being, you know, beef or red meat or stuff like that.
And I've also been watching sugar too. I mean, I probably now have almost no sugar in I do still eat some fruit.
Yeah, because it has the fiber. Yeah, so that's a good kind.
I pretty much wiped out the sugar. Pretty much. And it's funny how your palate just, because I just celebrated a birthday and I had some birthday cake and all that sugar.
It was just too much, wasn't it?
A rush when you have a piece of birthday cake. You've not had it in such a long time, but that's a good thing. And that's one of those things where you can train your body to do stuff.
Yes, you can.
And that your body can adapt. The body is very adaptable.
So what?
That's what I was doing.
So that's you. So what about you, Robin? Did you do anything exciting? Well, it seemed like you had something exciting before you came here, but other than that,
yeah, that was not great exciting. So, you know, just I'm a workaholic, so I'm trying to think. Well, I had actually a Saturday off, so I rested.
Oh, that's a good thing.
That's good.
Yeah, rest is a good thing, especially when you're constantly working. I'm an entrepreneur, so you know, entrepreneurship can take every minute.
Oh, yes, yes. Right. Don't
so,
I know?
Yeah. So rest to me was.
And not that you think that we're sexist, because we ask the men here too, because we're mommies. You have children. Did you do anything fun with your kids?
Well,
ask the men that too.
They go to their dads on the weekends. So I'm actually, you know, because I'm divorced, and we co-parent very well. He gets them every weekend. So that helps
freeze
me a lot.
You up.
Yeah, frees me up. And they get, you know, there's never a battle over that. It's like half and half time. So being able to have that Saturday time free to myself and take a break and just rest.
Yeah.
And actually clean a little bit. So
yeah, we understand.
That was, to me, that was great. You know, most people probably like, you didn't get to go out and go do something. I wanted to, but resting was just what was on the agenda.
Yeah.
And I think,
and that's what you do, right?
Yeah. And it was needed. It was needed. A lot of times we underestimate how much sometimes we need to rest.
That sounds like a good week then for all of us, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So what is going on this week?
It was pretty exciting this week.
I know. I watched all Saturday, the march.
I was glued to the television.
Yeah,
it was just bringing back so many memories of marches. And for me, the March on Washington when I was in high school and all other kinds of marches, it was just, I couldn't stop crying.
Yeah.
Every time somebody got up to give a
speech, I know.
I'm just boohooing and crying. It was, Time Magazine has come out now with their picture on the front page, and they were just talking about how they would get in the war room at the pizza shop and come up with strategy to try to pull all these people together. And I mean, can you imagine? They pull millions of people together.
Oh, it was a lot.
Cities all over not just the United States, but the world to come together for this cause. Paul McCartney was out there in the mix. So kudos to those kids.
Yes. It says March for Our Lives highlights. It was written in the New York Times. Students protesting guns say enough is enough. And so demonstrators flooded the streets across the globe in public protests on Saturday, calling for action against gun violence. Hundreds of thousands of marchers turned out in the most ambitious show of force yet from a student-driven movement that emerged after the recent massacre at South Florida High School. What was interesting was that some of the adults wanted to participate, you know, and be a part of the program. And they said, no, let it just be all young folks, all students. Right. And that was powerful.
It was powerful.
Don't you think?
It was powerful.
And the youngest, 11-year-old girl, you saw that they showcased her, was talking about all the little girls that she represented.
Right.
So it was very...
How about Martin Luther King's little granddaughter?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
You can tell she's got the genes.
Yeah. I know.
That little girl got up there and you were like, wait a minute, genetics is right on. Mm-hmm. That little girl had the ministry in her.
I know.
It was amazing. She was great. And then she did an interview on CNN with her dad, Martin the III.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just powerful. She's just a little...
A little pistol.
You know, a little pistol.
Yeah.
I think she's only 9 years old.
That's what I thought. I was going to ask how old.
I said, whoa, her grandfather is definitely in her.
I know. What do you think? Do you think there's going to be any change
with
all this?
Well, it certainly reminds me of the civil rights movement back in the 60s that was started and continued with the college kids on the historically black colleges. I'm from North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So Greensboro, where those kids sat at the counter, kind of got the movement started, you know. And I just kind of see this taking off. But like everybody just kept saying, we hope it's not a moment, but a movement.
Well, they registered, but some hundreds of thousands
did
of
they?
Voters. At
oh,
the marches.
Good. Oh,
yes.
I hadn't heard that, Robin. Well, that's
good.
Oh,
yeah.
Because
it's
got to be the vote. People have got to get out to vote. And these young people who didn't vote, some of them never have voted. Like they said, the best way to make your voice heard is to vote people out.
Mm-hmm. And they're planning
vote
on doing that,
vote them in or vote
them
out. Yeah.
They're planning on it.
Yeah, and that should be the strategy.
That is the strategy.
You don't have to do, you know, they did the movement in the streets and so forth, and they made their voices heard. But the best way to make your voice heard is at the ballot box.
So it was that many, huh, that registered?
I can't remember the exact number, but I had heard
they
registered hundreds of thousands.
Wonderful.
So while they were all marching, they were going through the crowd getting getting registrations.
Now, that's what you call strategery.
It was. I'm telling you, these kids were sitting in the war room at a pizza shop, they said in Time magazine, doing all this strategy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, kudos to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and then I liked how they pull the students from Parkland. They went and they sat down with our black students. Because, see, nobody talk about all the Chicago. Look how many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that boy was poignant talking about how many people are killed in Chicago.
Yes.
They run out of, I know this for a fact, they run out of emergency room beds in Chicago because of all the killings that happened. On one weekend, they're transporting patients so many places back and forth. They don't have beds for them. It's just it's just terrible. And you're right, people aren't talking about that.
I know. So it was very good for those guys to reach out to, you know, the black students that have to deal with that and that are living in neighborhoods where they have to deal with gun violence all the time. So kudos. I'm just going to watch this and see.
Yeah, too. And they had the Latina girl who came on and she was talking about her neighborhood. I think she had lost her brother or something.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
She was from South Central in Los Angeles. And she was powerful. So it was a good strategy that they used to pull everybody from all different walks of life that had been affected by gun violence.
So we'll be watching. Yes, indeed. We'll be watching. Well, we heard the latest. We heard that Linda Brown, Brown versus Board of Education, she dies at 75 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was, again, one of these near and dear things to me. She was a little girl who was at the center of the Brown versus Board of Education case that ended segregation in American schools. She just passed, and she was from Topeka, Kansas. She was 9 years old in 1951 when her father, Oliver Brown, tried to enroll her at Sumner Elementary School, which was an all-white school near her home in Topeka. When the school blocked her enrollment, her father sued the Topeka Board of Education. Four similar cases were combined with Brown's complaint and presented to the Supreme Court as Oliver Brown versus the Board of Education at Topeka, Shawnee County, Kansas. While her name will forever be a part of American civil rights history, her contributions to the community after the case are part of a legacy, too. Longtime friend Carolyn Campbell said, Campbell attended St. Mark's AME Church, where Brown played piano and taught children how to play. Before her death, the church dedicated the piano to her. And this case was near and dear to those of us that integrated the high schools in the South back in the 60s, because if it had not been for this case, that started again, that wave of breaking down, you know, integrating the colleges. We were talking about Fred Gray, attorney Fred Gray, who spoke at Natalie's graduation this past year, who, although he was not on the, I don't think he was on the Brown versus Board of Education case, but he was on that case with Vivian Malone and the other young man who tried to integrate it. I forget the name of the school. I think it was Alabama back in the 60s. And I think on the Brown versus the Board of Education case, Thurgood Marshall was one of the major lawyers involved. So it was a landmark case. She was just always so humble. She didn't do a lot of interviews, you know.
No.
She just kind of stayed in the background and was just very, very humble whenever you saw her, whenever they interviewed her.
So she did a lot of good in the neighborhood,
She did.
It seems like she...
That case did, too.
Yeah. That was the most.
Yeah, that was it. That was landmark.
That was
case.
Like right
landmark case.
Now everybody's talking about Facebook and our privacy and all that. But you know, when I really think about it, it's like, really? I mean, we know.
What do you think?
I know.
We know. What? I'm a Facebook person, but if your stuff is really all out there,
right?
Don't you think that somebody can capture it?
Right. Yes.
I mean, I wasn't. I don't know. I guess I wasn't as upset as the masses were, because, as my father used to say, you knew it was a snake when you took it in. It wasn't a dog or a cat or a lamb. When you throw your information out there in cyberspace, it's out there. People that you talk to, your conversations, they know everything about you. They know who you like. They know how many times you've liked something. And so to hear that this British company got all this information and then it, you know, swaying votes and this, that, and the other, so now people are backtracking, trying to tighten down on their privacy controls, and Facebook is trying to do all that. But
it's too late.
It's too late. And I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, I mean, first of all, I guess I look at him like he's trying to make money. So he's not going to be doing a lot of tampering down, and that's how he makes his money. The reason that we have free Facebook is because they all
the advertising.
Right. So why is he going to shoot himself in the foot and try to... So now, okay, the cat's out of the bag. And so now he's got to try to backtrack. But all that billions of information is out there. So this morning, I watched the Today Show. Jeff Rosson was showing everybody how to go on your Facebook.
Yeah, I saw that. Ain't nobody doing
gonna
that.
Do that.
Come on, Nan.
He was saying it used to take 20 pages to do it. Now
please.
It takes one. Well, if it takes a half, I'm not doing it. I mean, it's already out there. Bottom line is, if you don't want your information to be out there on Facebook,
you shouldn't have
shut it down.
Right. You shouldn't have gotten on there in the first place.
Shut it down.
And then some people tell us all their stuff anyway on Facebook.
TMI.
They be telling us all
way
their stuff anyway. So it's like, you know. And
what are you thinking?
And some people be on there just telling their souls.
Telling everything. Right.
And it's like, no, really?
Right.
Do I want to hear that?
No.
No. Mm-mm. But yeah, I wasn't surprised. Just
I'm
for
not.
Anything.
Right.
No. Yeah, because you can tell just using your computer, you know, you can tell every time you get on it, some type of advertisement that you would like or you would be interested in, it's coming up.
That's how he makes his money.
And then from a business person, for me, I'm on the website. I want my stuff to be coming up when Sally Sue down in Texas
is on.
Is on.
Yeah.
So she can click on my stuff.
Exactly.
Right.
it's capitalism.
Yeah.
I mean.
It is.
So the fact that, you know, these people now have all this information, well, you gave it to them.
I know. But they are saying that, you know, maybe they did kind of go above
and
beyond.
Well, he's going to have some, as they say, he's going to have some splaining to do. Because next month he's going to Congress.
Yeah.
He's going to be before the committee, whatever committee, communications committee, whatever, to describe what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, outside of like demographic type information, what else could he have sold to these people?
Well, they said Jeff Rosen this morning said people had credit card information, card numbers. He said he even found on his Facebook page when he downloaded, he was able to download some information, conversations, and the contact list from his phone.
Yes.
With people's phone numbers. How do they get all of that?
But it depends on how you use, if you use the messenger.
Okay.
See, we're on the messenger. And that's how good all the numbers and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Because you can dial from Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all that stuff gets sent in to. So you're putting other people's information in there as well.
But think of everything. Think of Skype. Think of, you know, all these apps, WhatsApp, this and that. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be out there.
Yeah.
Even phone your numbers. phone, your Verizon.
Yeah.
That's why they have something out, because I keep getting all these telemarketers calling me. They're getting it from somewhere. I don't know. Well, let's just put it this way. And they might even be listening to me on the phone. But I'd be like, that's why I say whatever. And, hey, if you want to hear that, that's your problem. You should not have been listening.
I mean, you can always hang up.
You can always hang up. That's it. Yeah, that's too much. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have been listening on my conversation.
Exactly.
We always have a health tip. And our health tip this time is 5 suggestions to promote healthy aging, and you can find this on our website, Vicky Doe Fitness, and it was written by Health Day News. And it says, today's lifestyle choices can help prevent or delay age-related health problems well into the future. And the NIH offers these 5 suggestions. Number 1, be active for at least 30 minutes a day. Number 2, make exercise a consistent part of your life. Number 3, eat lots of fruits and vegetables. Number 4, opt for foods that are low in added sugars, saturated fats, and salt. And last but not least, choose whole grains and lean proteins and lean low-fat dairy products. Today, we talk about the importance of counseling for healing. According to the American Counseling Association, counseling is a professional relationship that empowers diverse individuals, families, and groups to accomplish mental health, wellness, education, and career goals. Like we said, we have Robin Hill right here in the hot seat. She's a psychotherapist and licensed professional clinical counselor, and she is also the owner of her practice, Robin C. Hill Counseling and Professional Development Services, located in the Cleveland area, Beechwood, Ohio. Robin will talk with us more about her book, A Healing Conversation, Beginning Steps Towards Dealing with a Painful Past. And she will be giving us tips on how we can maintain our mental health and well-being. But first, let's look quickly at this article that I thought was interesting, Dee. It's talking about walking, biking to work seems to have mental health benefits. And you can find this on our website, Vicky Doe Fitness, written by Health Day News. And it says, active commuters, less stressed, better able to concentrate than those who drive, research shows. And it says, trading the gas pedal for foot power or bike power to get to your job can also improve your mental health. British researchers report daily commuters who stopped driving to work and started walking or riding a bike were under less stress and were able to concentrate better, the study showed. The authors noted that using public transportation also resulted in an improvement in commuters' psychological well-being, but I don't know about our public transportation. It might stress us out, but we But anyway, it says one surprising finding was that commuters reported feeling better when traveling by public transport compared to driving. And that's lead researcher Adam Martin from the University of East Anglia's
I don't know where that is.
Norwich Medical School. And this was said in a university news release. So Martin added, he said, you might think that things like disruption to services or crowds of commuters might have been a cause of considerable stress. But as buses or trains also give people time to relax, read, socialize, and there's usually an associated walk to the bus stop, a railway station, it appears to cheer people up. For the study, the researchers analyzed 18 years of data compiled on almost 18,000 commuters in Britain who were between the ages of 18 and 65. Specifically, they considered the commuters' feelings of worthlessness and unhappiness. They looked at their sleep quality and whether they had trouble dealing with other problems. The researchers also weighed other factors known to cause stress or affect people's well-being, such as income, relationships, children, moving, and changing jobs. The amount of time spent commuting also affects their mental health. The research published this in the Preventive Medicine, and although a long car commute has a negative effect on well-being, a physically active commute has the opposite effect. So Martin said, in conclusion, our study shows that the longer people spend commuting in cars, the worse their psychological well-being. And correspondingly, people feel better when they have a longer walk to work. So what do you think, Dee?
I think our country is too, we rely too much on
commuting.
Right.
So that's why all of us are pretty much stressed out.
Yeah. You know, the economy is such that people have to take long drives. I mean, what is it, in Los Angeles? It's nothing to have like a 3-hour
isn't that something?
Commute or something.
That's crazy.
Or 4-hour commute, 2 hours there, 2 hours back. I know when I worked in Pittsburgh, it was a 3-hour commute. From here. And that's stressful.
Yeah.
You know.
So also, if you notice that a lot of the folks are really taking that into, you know, consideration, because a lot of the cities now, even in Youngstown, Ohio, they're building stuff downtown now. You can see that in Columbus big time, where people are buying condos.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And all that stuff near work.
Right.
So all that they have to do is kind of walk to work now.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the cities, Chicago, my brother T, he's moving to Chicago, and they got a lot of folks changing those inner cities. They're, you know, what they call it, gentrification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're doing a lot of that so that they can move closer to where they work.
Well, Europeans use more biking. You know that. You know, you were in Amsterdam. Everybody bikes to work. Everybody's biking.
Everybody's walking. That
walking and biking and stuff.
And what tripped me out
to health and wellness.
I know. And what tripped me out was that in Amsterdam, they had, you know how we have parking decks? They had parking decks for bikes. Mm-hmm. So these were packed with bikes. 2, 3, and 4 floors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where they would have their bikes there, and then they would catch the train to wherever. So,
yeah
maybe we'll change that eventually.
We may have to go back there. But we are, you know, I keep telling people, why don't we have more trains here like they do in Europe? Well, you know, the automotive industry in this country has a huge lobby. There's a lot of money behind them. Mm-hmm. And you come up against Detroit. You know, talking about let's not have that
let's
many
walk.
Cars and let's walk. Let's have some more bicycles. Let's build some more train tracks and trains. Talk about a march on Washington.
Right.
No.
So what do you think, Robin, since you know you're the counselor and you're the psychotherapist, what's your take on this?
I definitely believe, you know, walking and all that releases endorphins. That is true. And driving probably is stressful. I think the area definitely reflects probably more of what he's talking about. I'm sure that in cities where the traffic is horrific, that would make for a stressful drive to work. And so definitely a commute on public transportation is probably different. It's probably like New York, whereas Cleveland's public transportation is not going to be.
Probably not.
You know,
probably stress you out.
Probably stress you out. I saw a video on Facebook where they were, I think it was Detroit or Chicago, and some man got on the bus with a goat and everybody screaming and hollering. Get off this bus with that goat. I'm sure that was more stressful than driving to work that day.
Exactly.
Well, the area and what, you know, how they're structured is probably would determine what, you know, whether this is valid to them.
Okay, yes,
you know,
yes.
A city where they're, you know, with that metropolitan feel,
mm-hmm,
would
mm-hmm.
probably this would mm-hmm. apply to, as mm-hmm. opposed to an urban.
Yes, because they're now changing the urban cities. Now they're trying to have it where you can have your food, you can go buy and shop, and people are living more
yeah. mm-hmm.
downtown, closer right. to their
right.
jobs
right.
now. So
right.
we'll see, you know, 10 years from now, you know, they might have the where no one has to drive
yeah.
their cars. We never know.
Well, although that Uber car didn't.
No.
I think they've taken that off, going to take that off the
Thank
market
God.
For a while.
Yes.
Well, who thought of
Kill
that?
Somebody.
Kill somebody.
In Arizona.
Mm-hmm. We were talking
about
that last week.
They're
going
to have to go to the back burner on that one.
I know. Can you imagine?
Why did was that even
I don't
allowed?
And there was somebody in the car,
yes.
right? Wasn't there somebody? We found out there was somebody not driving, but there was some
passenger
monitor or something.
Sitting in a car. Can
yeah.
you imagine? Robin, we are so glad that you're here. And we definitely want to talk about your book, but we also want to talk about how that we can go and talk to somebody so we can get some healing.
Yes.
Right, Dee?
Yes.
And yes, indeed. So we want you to explain to our audience, because a lot of folks, you know, we tell folks to, oh, you got to go and talk to a counselor, but they don't really know what happens.
Yeah, the who and where.
Yeah.
And why. Who should you see?
And the counseling
qualifications
services.
Qualifications and all of that.
What exactly is counseling services, and how can it help individuals, and who should or can go to those services?
I always like to say counseling is just a conversation. That's my little saying. Some people think that I'm watering it down, but for the average person, especially the people that are afraid to go, they need to know it is just a conversation. It's not this mystic mm-hmm. experience, like, oh my gosh, they're going to see right through me type of thing. It's a conversation. Everyone deserves an opportunity to speak and be heard unapologetically.
Mm-hmm.
To say what is going on their minds and not be judged and not worry about, am I saying the right thing? Am I saying it the right way?
Mm-hmm.
Just say it. I have people come see me and they're jumping all over the board and they're apologizing. Like, oh my gosh, am I making sense? I'm following you. Just go ahead. Mm-hmm. Say it how it needs to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know if I need some clarity. Because sometimes things become so overwhelming that people just need to just go.
Mm.
And start telling the story wherever they need to start telling it at. And I'll go back and pull where I need to pull you from to get the pieces of the story, how I need to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But people need to be able to come somewhere and talk and tell their story unapologetically. So that's my layman's way of explaining counseling. But counseling is a therapeutic place. It's a place to come and talk about your problems and get help. You can get diagnosed or may not get diagnosed. You know, a lot of times we do diagnose and treat mental disorders. But that's the medical side of it. But for the most part, for the individual, it is a place to come and lay your burdens down.
I think a lot of folks, we don't really realize that. We think that when you go to a counselor that you have to have some type of a mental illness or issue. But it seems that you can just go to a counselor to get clarity on different situations, even to think it through.
Mm-hmm. And insurance wants us to diagnose because mm-hmm. they want to bill something. But mm-hmm. there's a diagnosis for everything.
Right.
So whether it's you're trying to adjust to a life stress issue, there's an adjustment disorder for that. You know, there's something that we can use to appease the insurance companies.
Okay.
But sometimes people don't even realize that they may be struggling with something.
Mm.
You know, oftentimes, especially with the African-American community, we don't know things like anxiety. We
mm-hmm.
might know depression because we've been carrying that one for a long time. We know
mm-hmm.
sadness.
Mm-hmm.
But anxiety is something that we don't always know. So a lot of times we got anger and we got this hostility and this angst in us, and we don't know what that is. And we're constantly worrying about our children, worrying about our husbands, worrying about our boyfriends, and once they start pouring it all out and the tears start flowing, and I let them know, that's anxiety.
Right.
You know, you ever panic? You ever, mm-hmm. your heart pounding out of your chest and I start going through the symptoms with them and that let them know, you know, you're suffering from anxiety.
So is there still a stigma to come to you?
I definitely believe there's a stigma in the minority communities. And I've talked about this on my show just recently. The stigma, one, we have some misnomers in our community, in the minority communities. But a lot of it comes from, historically, the way the mental health field has been misused towards the minority community.
Mm.
And when you don't have the proper narrative, we don't heal properly.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been mental health facilities were used punitively mm-hmm. with our communities.
Mm.
You know, going back to slavery and going back to institutions, you know, if you misbehaved or if you were out of pocket or you were thrown into mental health facilities, if they thought something was wrong with you, and these facilities were not treatment,
mm-hmm.
they were oftentimes abusive.
Mm.
So, of course, we would bottle up, keep our problems to ourselves because mm-hmm. we don't want to get thrown in there.
Mm.
And it's nothing wrong with me. And so this is what's been going on for generations. But we don't know that. Mm. But all we know is grandma said, keep that to yourself.
Right.
You know, we're going to keep Uncle Willie back there.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're just going to keep him in the room, just take him a plate. We're not going to tell nobody he's back there.
Right.
Because we don't send our people off to those places.
Right.
And we don't know that that's why we oftentimes did those things.
It even goes back to the war. I remember families that I heard of where the, you know, the term shell shock, mm-hmm. where a lot of boys came home from the war, not only World War II, Korea and stuff, where that was just like that. They mm-hmm. kept Uncle Willie in the back room because he was shell shocked because they didn't want him to go to an institution.
Mm-hmm.
That was the stigma attached to that.
It was very torturous.
Yeah. Mm.
They, you know, our services, because, you know, remember, segregation was everywhere. It was mm-hmm. throughout everything. So mm-hmm. we had our own mental health institutions.
We did. We knew, in North Carolina, we did. There mm-hmm. was a town that we knew where that's where the crazy house is. You
right.
know, that's how you, that was mm-hmm. a term that people used.
Right. And they beat them. And they,
yes.
you know, they waterboarded them.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't,
mm.
They went there, got well, got on their medicine, and came back home. You didn't even know when they were coming back. And you know, stuff like with Emmett Till, when they, you know, he whistled at somebody wrong, you might have got sent to the house.
Mm.
So stuff like that. Not even that you were doing anything mental mm-hmm. illness related.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You could have just been out of pocket in public. Just, mm-hmm. you know, disrespectful.
Mm.
And got sent off. So this is where we have this tradition of behaving in public.
And it goes, know, right, and it goes from generations to generations.
Right.
Okay.
And so we don't know that this, that's that underlying, ain't nothing wrong with me. Mm. And, you know, we keep it to ourselves. Or we go to the church house.
And pray on it.
And pray on
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm.
Right.
That explains a lot, right, Dee?
That explains a lot.
I yeah. know, because we, you know, we always talk about, you know, why are there underlying stigmas? But as we can see with everything, even down to how we eat, whether we trust folks or not, it does go back to our history, our past history
mm-hmm.
here in, you know, the U.S. of A. and mm-hmm. white society, really.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we have to overcome these things, right? Right.
When you have the proper narrative and understanding, then you can heal. Now, mm-hmm. when you know that it's not that it's something wrong with talking about your issues
mm-hmm.
and that we no longer live in that time. Because mm-hmm. I remember when I was working on the West Side at an agency and I was working with the Puerto Rican population because mm-hmm. they were affected too.
Okay.
And they had to translate for me to do the diagnosing so they can get services, so they can mm. get the entitlements to help them get their disability and their food stamps and things like that. And there was a man there, and he didn't want to tell me what was wrong. And he had some psychiatric issues going on. And he didn't want to tell me. And the girl was translating and saying, it's okay. You could trust her. She's good people. She's good. Mm-hmm. You can trust
okay.
her. And,
okay.
And he was saying, I don't want you to lock me away.
Oh.
I don't know what was happening on the island or when they came over from the island, but mm-hmm. evidently there was a time when Puerto Ricans were being locked away.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to let them know, oh, honey, don't worry. Reagan cut that funding a long time ago.
Yeah.
We don't lock people away
yeah.
anymore.
Right.
You know,
oh,
you
wow.
have to be a danger to yourself or others to get mm. put away. You can be sitting out here
right.
with all kinds of symptoms. We yeah. don't lock people away anymore.
Mm. Oh,
and
wow.
once I told him that, then he let me know about the voices that he was hearing mm. and everything. But up until that point, he was just going to hold that in. Like, mm. I'm not telling you, you're going to lock me away and I'll never get back out.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We will say, Dee, and I think that we need to really talk about your book because we need some healing in our community.
Yeah, and there's certainly a need for books on mental health books, counseling books, and
all of that.
Why did you write this?
I wrote that book because I was working with, I started out my career at a lot of agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're working in agency work, you're finding yourself having to build a rapport to get people to talk to you. Basically, this is my script of what I used to have to say to get people to open up to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, basically describing what counseling is about, what my role is,
mm-hmm.
what you don't have to tell me, what you should expect from me, what I can expect from you,
mm-hmm.
basically what counseling is really all about, and then what is defining depression, anxiety, and trauma. in layman's terms, and what those symptoms are, what the symptoms of those disorders are, and then what coping skills you should develop before mm-hmm. you even start talking about. Because a lot of times you might jump into a counseling experience and they want to jump right into that painful mm-hmm. past. And if you don't have the coping skills to deal with it, that's going to re-traumatize you. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to put those coping skills in a book. It's not a very long book. Mm-hmm. It's what I call a primer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For that counseling experience. But what to even look for, to let you know it's okay that if you don't like the person you go see, to go find somebody yeah, else. Right. It's no offense. Mm-hmm. It's all about getting that good energy with mm-hmm. someone, mm-hmm. you know, just so people would know what counseling really is all mm-hmm. about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We definitely going to admonish folks to go and get that book. But here's the deal. You said developing coping skills, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that a lot of folks these days, because we have so much stuff that we have to deal with, especially the young folks too, mm-hmm. that we're just more stressed out, not just on driving to work, mm-hmm. just when we get to work, we got to be stressed out with that, home and all of that. You know, a lot of times you were talking about anxiety and all of those mental illnesses that the psychiatrist, they do prescribe medications. Mm-hmm. And I know, yeah, some folks, you know, you have to take your medications. But I think it's not just medications, but I think it's more, too, that you have to learn, you know, those coping skills. So what's your thoughts on that, about coping skills? What kind of coping skills would you tell someone that needed to, you know, learn how to develop those skills?
I believe some people do need medication, especially when, like when in the counseling relationship, when I cannot get through and I'm worried that I'm going to lose you. Like you're going into this darkness place mm-hmm. and I can't pull you out. There's like this scene from Never Ending Story, I think, where this animal's sinking and the little boy's yelling at him like, pull yourself out, pull yourself out. And he's just sinking and sinking and he won't fight to come out of whatever the sink mm-hmm. pulling him under. That's where I feel like some of my clients go. And I'm like, I can't pull you. Yeah. You got to come out. That's where I'm like, okay, we need to send you off to get some medication.
Yeah. Right.
Because
right.
We're both useless at this point. But medication can only help to a point.
Okay.
You do need coping skills. And for a lot of my clients don't want medication. They want to see if they can try to battle it without medication. And I can understand that and respect that. Coping skills, in a nutshell, you need some of the quick ones that I like to do is from a dialectical behavioral therapy standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give credit because I didn't create these. One is improving your mood. Do things that improve your mood. So like walking. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about the walking, the commuter, the riding the bikes. Those things, they release endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
Things that release endorphins in your system, they actually do work. Eating does work, but it works to a fault.
Right.
You can't overeat. But sometimes every now and then, tossing a piece of dark chocolate rather mm-hmm. than regular chocolate is a okay mm-hmm. thing. You know, those types of things improve. You know, smelling something that smells good or taking a hot shower, mm-hmm. getting a massage. Those mm-hmm. types of things can improve your mood. So I often ask my clients, okay, so what are you going to do to improve your mood today? Okay, mm-hmm. you're in a funky mood. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Watch a funny movie. Go do something mm-hmm. to improve your mood. Mm-hmm. Talk to a friend. Those type of things. Then there's distracting. And that works better with anxiety than trying to consciously improve yourself. Because when you're in the middle of anxiety, you're just going up. But if you can distract yourself, just totally just go do something else. Like watching a movie. Mm-hmm. Playing a game. I always play Bejeweled Blitz.
Okay.
Because it's something that will zoom you into something else.
Okay.
And take your mind off of everything mm-hmm. else. Anything that would distract you that can help you take yourself back to your baseline.
Okay.
Whatever your baseline emotion is, because everyone's different, because some people just stay on a certain level of anxiety. So whatever that baseline is for you, that's where you want to get back to so that you can then process mm-hmm. whatever it is that's going on in your life. Mm-hmm. That's how you learn to cope. Getting back to the baseline, mm-hmm. wherever your normal, anybody fish? Wherever that little bobber thing is at in your life. That's what your goal is to get back to that. So that's coping.
Sometimes I think some of our young people today haven't developed the kind of coping skills that we were raised with. And you just find that you know, I think somebody did an article like, you know, when you're on a baseball team and everybody wins, you know, everybody mm-hmm. gets a certificate, everybody gets A's, everybody gets this. And when they get to a certain age, they've not ever failed. Mm-hmm. And so when they get to adolescence or in college, I think more importantly in college, and they fail because they've not been allowed to fail growing up, mm-hmm. that's a problem from a mental health standpoint. What do you think about that?
I do. I think we need to learn to examine expectations all around. I think when you have unreasonable expectations, that's when you find yourself having negative emotions. Mm-hmm. So whenever people come in and they're upset about something, I say, okay, let's look at what your expectations were. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to tweak out which one were unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Some may not have been far-fetched. Mm-hmm. But we're going to tweak out all the expectations here, and let's look at which ones were unreasonable. Mm-hmm. We do that with relationships. We'll do that like maybe even with the job. You know, any kind of situation. Okay, let's look at that, and what were your expectations of this situation, and help that person get back to their baseline. But that is it. And the children of today, they have ridiculous expectations.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Because they have media.
Yeah.
Media makes them expect the world.
Exactly.
And put no effort for it.
Right.
I know. And that's, I don't know, that's stressing the young folks out,
it
I
is.
Think. I think that's stressing folks
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I see that you conduct mental wellness workshops. So tell us about your mental wellness workshops.
Yes, I started those because it's hard nowadays as an outpatient therapist in private practice to conduct groups. It's very hard to get people to follow through with a group. I'll promote a therapy group, and then they'll call and say, well, I want individual counseling. It's great promotion to get individual mm-hmm. clients, but
right.
it doesn't get me the group ratio that I want. So I figured, let me start doing workshops, and then that people will come for one day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I started doing, and they did. They started mm-hmm. coming out for the one-day brunch workshops, and that was pretty good. But I wanted to promote mental wellness. And I call it mental wellness rather than mental health because that's the stigma.
Right,
you know,
people, right.
Ain't nothing wrong with me, but mental wellness, promoting that, just like we promote physical wellness, we want to promote mental wellness.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to church for our spirits, we'll go to the gym for our bodies, but what do we go to for
yes,
our minds?
Right. Yes,
and so
right.
that's what the mental wellness, I started with self-care, mm-hmm. then I went and did boundaries, and the last one I did was grief.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to pick those back up soon here,
mm-hmm.
but I do have a few other speaking engagements coming up, so and push them back for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also going to work on doing some online workshops so that
yes.
People outside of the area can attend.
Perfect.
I'm interested in the, what did you say? You said
self-care,
second one.
Boundaries.
Boundaries. Now, mm-hmm. what is that?
Teaching people how to effectively have relationship and personal workplace and all that boundaries, just boundaries in life.
Because mm-hmm. So that maybe some of these folk that were doing their sexual harassment and getting in trouble,
yeah.
they probably should have gone
mm-hmm.
to that workshop.
Some boundaries, right?
Yeah, definitely,
exactly.
definitely,
right.
definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, because I was, when you said boundaries, I was like, huh, that's different.
Yeah, because we don't realize the emotional strain we put on ourselves because we're so busy trying to please everyone and so busy trying to be everything for everyone.
Right.
That we don't realize it's us because we don't have the proper boundaries in our life.
Okay, so what would be at least a couple of boundaries that we probably should have? I know everybody's probably different.
The general boundaries are, you know, personal
mm-hmm.
or physical boundaries, sexual boundaries,
right?
Spiritual boundaries. A lot of
mm-hmm.
times we don't realize that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you just wind up giving yourselves all over the place spiritually in the church and everything because we feel this guilt, guilt driven, and don't realize that you can say no in those
right.
areas
mm-hmm.
as well. You know, you have your workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Even with family, you have your codependent relatives. That,
oh, yes.
You know, that
everybody's
you just,
with their hand out.
Mm-hmm.
Or
know.
Needy,
mm-hmm.
or calling you on the phone.
You're not the only family member that can take care of mama.
Right.
Why are you the only
right.
one that's running?
Right.
You know, those type of things.
Right.
We have to learn how to establish some boundaries and say, you know what, I can't do that, but what
right.
I can do is this.
Right.
You know,
right.
I can't do this every day, but on Mondays, this is the time that I have
yeah.
available.
Exactly.
Yeah, because we end up, stressing ourselves out, probably
right.
trying to do everything.
Yes.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. And then, of course, grieving. That's kind of hard, huh?
It's hard. And a lot of people are carrying grief and don't know how to free themselves. The grief workshop I did was the unrelenting grief, because there's a lot of grief work that's going on out there. But there are some people who are stuck.
Yeah.
Mm.
They just can't move
can't
forward.
Can't move on, right.
Mm.
And those are the ones that I wanted to grab.
Mm-hmm.
You come see me so we can figure out what's got you stuck.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get stuck there? And usually it's guilt. or something, you know, they just can't get past, and we're trying to move, nudge them out of that place.
Mm-hmm. You are doing your mental wellness workshop. So then I definitely want to ask about your radio, because, you know, that's the things that I do and show forth. So tell me about it. It's what? Elevations?
Elevations Radio. That's the network.
Okay.
So I launched a radio network in June of last year. My radio show is Mind Healing Conversations. That airs on Sunday at 6 p.m. live. Mm-hmm. Elevations Radio is on elevationsradio.com. But we have about 7 or 8 shows, I've lost count now, on the network. They're live, and some are pre-recorded podcasts that play, that we air, as well as live music, not live music, but it's indie music, indie artists from all around the world. So we're 24/7, and that was built for by my father. He built me a radio station.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, so that's, it was an awesome, I wanted to be able to build a platform with positive and uplifting radio and talk. And now the shows that I bring on are positive and uplifting, elevated discussions.
All right. So great. So your father, does your father know Lynn Tolliver and those guys? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know Lynn Tolliver and all those guys.
WZAK.
And Greg Andrews, all them. Yeah, that's how I learned all my radio technique.
My dad was a DJ back in the day. Well, he still DJs and stuff, but he's been with them back. He was the club jocks.
Okay.
There, back in those days, there was the club jocks and there was the radio jocks.
Right.
When they built the stations and stuff. So he was one of the club jocks that was in the clubs while they, and then they would come and they would do intermingle and all that stuff.
Yeah, so he's a Clevelander too.
Okay. Yeah, Larry McLemore is my dad.
So he might know Dale King. He's still doing the radio, but more, he has his own station and all that, and he's a engineer, so he, you know, he's always hooked my stuff up and so forth.
That's how my dad's done mine. So.
It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so go ahead, my sister.
Right. That's why our stuff is so quality.
Yes. So, but that's great, because when I went to your website, I could hear the radio station.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's very good.
I put players on all my stations so that no matter which one of my web pages you go to, you can hear the radio station playing.
So that whole Elevations Radio Network is to make folks feel great, or to what's the purpose?
It's for positive and uplifting talk and music. So
it
started off, I wanted to broadcast my own show. My show's been out for a few years. And I've been going from different network to different network. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't draw the audience that I wanted. I wanted live radio.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I wanted to be able to draw the type of listenership that was positive and just forward thinking.
Right,
that type of audience. And you know, we're building it.
Okay, that's awesome. Yes.
Great.
Yes. That's awesome. And so, Dee, did you want something else to say?
Well, no. I mean, I'm just sitting here just thinking about how useful it is in this day and age, because, you know, when you mentioned that Reagan took away funding and so forth, but I mean, there's so much mental health funding that's been taken away from our country. Mm-hmm. You know, my son is in the military, and veterans is a big thing that's near and dear to me with veterans and mental health, and that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother show. But like you say, we don't lock people up, but I was thinking that's good and bad, because we don't lock people up, the negative connotation it has with that, but not locking people up, but we don't have a place for people to go.
We don't.
And you see people, you know, there was that poignant scene on Facebook again where the doctors were taking this woman who had obviously mental issues
and
threw her right on the street. And so there's no place to go. I see it in my hospital all the time with people with mental health issues, that a lot of times there's no place for them to go. And they're medicated up, but you know, that's not always the answer.
I was talking to a client this morning, and she said, she said, you're going to want to call the police today, probably, because I'm not feeling, I'm not feeling stable. And so I talked with her and I assessed, and I said, you're feeling suicidal. She said, I'm having thoughts. I said, are you planning on doing anything today? She said, no, I'm not planning to do anything. And so we're talking, we get through the session. At the end, I said, okay, well, here's the deal. You could take yourself. I said, but you're not lethal enough for me to call the police.
And that's something.
Right. She's wanting me to call the police to have her taken. I said, you're not lethal enough for me to call the police.
Right.
But you can take yourself. And she's saying, if I go, they're just going to give me medicine and kick me right back out. I said, I know. I said, there's no, you know, that it's not a place to go. I said, what you're wanting is someplace, you're wanting a retreat.
Exactly.
A place to go away.
Right.
And that doesn't
exist. They don't exist. They don't exist.
That's something to think about.
It's
on my heart. It is on my heart.
A lot of funding has not been provided and is not going to be provided in the near future for this.
So that'll be something for us to get together and maybe think about having some type of retreat like that.
That's what I do have, it's a passion of mine, and I don't like to put my stuff out there, but I do want to create something holistic.
Yes. I certainly agree with that. Now, for all of us, what are some of the key steps that we need to make sure, and that's in summary, to make sure that we maintain our mental health? What are some of your suggestions?
I always say my three main areas to assess is when if your symptoms are affecting your family, like your ability to attend to your family, to attend to your work, or to your personal hygiene life, like yourself or your home, those are three areas. If you see it affecting those areas, dial for help. Significantly for you, because if you always or some way, and it, you know, then you know it's got to be significant for you.
Okay.
So a person who's like a super duper neat freak, and all of a sudden you got clutter. That's significant for that person. For
well,
a person who
no,
always
no
has
problem
clutter.
Here.
Right. For a person who always has clutter.
That's what I said. That's that. No issues here. Let's move on.
Right. Right. But so those are three areas that you want to look out for.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But you always want to. I always stress social support are key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the therapist is your once a week place to go. But one of the things I'm always going to say is, who are your supports? Who do you go to?
That's right.
You always have to have supports, and I'm going to try to push you into finding supports because I can't be your best friend.
Right.
I can't be your mama. You know, so we're going to have to find you surrogate family. We're going to find you some friends and something to put you into, because that does help you feel better. Belonging is a reality.
Oh, wow. Well, we're so glad that you've come,
this was
Robin.
Excellent. This is excellent, Robin. I learned
thank
a lot.
You.
And
thank
then, but very you. Informative for our audience.
Definitely. And so tell us, though, how can people get in touch with you for your professional services? And then where can they find? Because we just talked about one book. I think you got at least, what, two?
Two.
Two,
yeah. My website is robinhillservices.com, R-O-B-Y-N, hillservices.com. And on that website, you'll find links to both my books, Healing Conversations, Beginning Steps Towards Dealing with a Painful Past, and then also I refresh a therapeutic devotional, which is a 40-page prayer journal devotional that teaches you how to incorporate spirituality into your mental wellness, because the mind, body, and spirit are all connected.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And this ends our show. So do you have any tips that you want us to think about?
Well, I think that when Robin started off saying that counseling is a conversation. I think that's critical. That, you know, because you have such angst going to a counselor, who's going to know and what am I going to say? Like you said, is she going to see right through me? But when you think of it as it's just a conversation, I think that takes it down a notch and maybe sort of levels the playing field between you and that client, so you can at least open them up, right?
Yes.
And I also say that all of us should think about some other way of transportation.
No.
If you want to relax, you know, maybe take a trip, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
But now, I don't know. Nowadays, you're just scared to go on anything, isn't it?
Right.
Oh, well, that's just a thought. And as always, for more information, go to our website, www.vickidofitness.com. And remember, if you have any questions, comments, or just something to say, tweet us, email us. Go on Facebook and share with us your thoughts.
You've been listening to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. Vicki Doe is owner of Vicki Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum, a place to discuss, learn, and participate in healthy living. You can get in touch with Vicki by email at info@vickidofitness.com.